98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Weekly Blast.
Playoff sweeps are a luxury item. They do not happen very often. But when they do, they make impact statements, and the sun sweep of the Nuggets certainly qualifies. It was a great performance from our basketball team, one that has put the rest of the NBA on notice. It was an even better performance from our fan base, who took over Denver's arena over the weekend, who showed up at the airport last night, and this is what it feels like to fall in love with a sports franchise. The effect is stunning. Winning a playoff series is hard work, but the Suns are making it look easy. They've now won 7 consecutive playoff games, and most of them haven't been close. It'll be a while before we see the Suns again, and you're going to miss them. Just now, ever since Game 4 of the Lakers series, everything seems to be shaping up in the Suns' favor, and I mean everything. But this is the week to savor every moment, because in the Valley, it is payback for 10 years of BS, and it is everything we have missed and everything we deserve.
The emotions are, you know, happy, grateful, tired, relieved, and, you know, it's one of those moments for me that, quite frankly, I never thought I'd have a chance to experience. And so for me, I just have a level of gratitude that I can't even explain. That's the deal.
Yeah, that's Monty Williams sharing his emotions after the game. Very happy
for
Monty. Great scene with him embracing Chris Paul on the court and different players celebrating with family members. Devin Booker did. Chris Paul did. It was truly a special moment. It's not done yet, obviously.
No.
It continues. But hearing Monty Williams talk about that opportunity, you feel like you're never going to get to that point. He was an NBA coach for 5 years. And there's a lot of guys that get one opportunity at it, and they never get back into that position, which is probably frustrating for those coaches who feel like, okay, I've learned so much this time around. I want an opportunity to do it differently the second time around,
yep.
And they're never granted that opportunity. Yet you got a bunch of retread coaches that are always popping up and coaching different teams, too.
Yeah.
So. And the length of time that passed in between head coaching jobs for Monty Williams was substantial. And he had a lot of different difficult things happen in his life. So he's a guy, first and foremost, that has made the most of a second opportunity to be the head coach. He talked about it very freely when the Suns made that hire, about how he had learned. And I think Chris Paul, a guy who's played with him in both stints now, can attest to how differently Monty Williams coaches this time around.
No, and I think that it's so good. It's and I really think Monty deserves this. He really does. He's what he did in the face of tragedy, and the grace and the forgiveness that he showed was absolutely remarkable. He deserves something like this. So does Chris Paul. So does the city. That's what I kind of like, what it all feels to me. It's like there's so many deserves here. It feels like Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Monty Williams, us, Suns fans. It just feels like a time of just rewards, you know? I mean, meanwhile, LeBron James is tweeting out a picture of his new Lakers jersey with the number 6. He has been out of the playoffs for 2 weeks now, and he's still trying to make the story about him. Sorry, LeBron, it's not anymore. It's just not.
It's always about him in a way.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. But
I mean,
you know
did
what?
That in his press conference right after getting eliminated by the Suns, talking about changing his number.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Playing for Toon Squad this summer instead of the Olympics.
Yep.
Not a surprise there.
The fact that the Suns are going to have, at minimum, a week off before the Western Conference Finals, it tells you we are going to have basketball basically into the month of July.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had that in a long time, Vinny.
Usually basketball in July is taking place in Las Vegas at the Summer League. We don't ever have basketball in July.
And sometimes you might be in the stands watching it, right?
Yeah.
And now you're going to be PA address announcer. That's sort of redundant. Public address announcer for the Western Conference Finals. Woo-hoo!
No pressure.
No pressure, Vinny.
Here's Monty Williams on the subject of rest and how it will help his team.
I mean, everybody at this point is banged up and can use that type of recovery. We've earned it, and we want to take advantage of it. So, you know, I'll talk to the coaches and our medical staff and training staff and see the best way to approach these next few days. But right now, I'm just not even thinking about that, man. I'm like, just happy about what these guys have accomplished and grateful to be a part of it. And I hope our fans back in Phoenix and in the state of Arizona are feeling the same way I do. This is a special time to be a Suns fan, and everybody should enjoy it right now.
I wonder what the gate at Monty's community looked like last night when he got back.
Yeah, probably lots of posters, lots of cards, lots of stuff.
Yes. Devin Booker talked about, hey, we're going to enjoy this, but get back to work quickly.
Yeah, like I said, this is the time that, you know, we celebrate, man. We put a lot of work in, and I think, you know, as a group, as a unit, from top to bottom, coaching staff to trainers to the doctors, everybody, you know, this is the time to celebrate what we did. But, you know, we wake up tomorrow and we're on to the next goal.
Yeah, for people that are kind of weighing, or is a week of rest minimum good for this team that's rolling the way it is?
Yeah, the answer is yes.
The answer is absolutely yes. Because you heard Monty Williams say it in that soundbite, Bick. Everybody's beat up. And just because it looked easy didn't mean it was easy. There's a lot of psychology involved, and that's the goal when you get to the playoffs. It's, you know, it's a gauntlet, and you know, if you can navigate the gauntlet enough to get some substantial rest time, you got to take advantage of that.
Yeah, and that, to me, given the fact that, and you're probably right, Chris Paul probably is 100% right, but this rest cannot hurt him.
No, not at all. I mean, and I would say that for any player of his age.
And listen, and I really do believe that there's something to be said for sustaining momentum, but I'm not so sure that that's what we got out of the Denver series. I think the thing was lopsided because you had one team that was bonding and growing with each passing game, and you had a Nuggets team that had effectively hit a wall and effectively realized we cannot hang with that team over there. So the fact that the Suns were able to sweep that series is a big feather in their cap, because you do that, and now there's just a lot of great benefits that come from that. Who knows what that Clippers-Jazz series, where it's going to go. But I'll tell you this, the Jazz are feeling pressure now to get this thing done because of what the Suns did. And I don't know what that's going to mean, but if this thing goes seven, this is going to be a decided advantage for the Suns.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. I think the Jazz might be feeling pressure, especially up with a one-game lead going into game four tonight. But that doesn't align very well with their reality, injury-wise. Mike Conley hasn't played in this series. So you're bringing a key guy in off the bench in Joe Ingles to start, and he's a capable starter, definitely. We'll see what Donovan Mitchell looks like. You know, if he says he's ready to go, you got to believe him. He's been fantastic in the playoffs, coming back from that injury. But yeah, the desperation to kind of match this and earn their own rest, it's not going to be easy. And especially, you know, you don't know what you're going to get from Paul George in the playoffs. I'm the first to admit that. I think you do know what you're going to get from Kawhi Leonard, and if he could pave the way.
Yep.
This, to me, feels like a long series at this point.
Yeah, so, same here.
Again, it could be next Sunday would be game one, depending on who wins. It could be if it goes seven, it's going to be Tuesday.
Yeah.
And that would be a full 8 days of non-game action for the Suns.
Yeah, and again, it's one thing to say, well, we don't want this team to lose momentum. Look, there was times in the second half of yesterday's game where it got pretty sloppy because the Suns didn't feel much fear, especially after Jokic got ejected from that game. They found a way to get to the finish line, and now I just think that they will be smart enough to use this time wisely and not lose their collective edge and this is going to be a great break. This is a postseason where after game three of that Lakers series, everything seems to be breaking in the Suns' favor. And you are so right about game one, the fact that the Lakers had that opportunity when Chris Paul went down and could not cash that in. Huge turning point in the postseason.
And even though he played most of that game still, it was clear to everybody he wasn't right, and they were not able to take advantage of it. That might be the biggest win of the postseason to this point for the Suns, looking back through through their first eight wins. Devin Booker also was asked about when Monty Williams was hired in 2019, after a 19-win season, by the way, under Igor Kokoschkov, if he expected the Suns to be here. At this point,
I didn't not expect it, you know, to be honest. You know, I'd never go into the season saying we can't make it there, we can't do it. You know, we have the culture here, we have the talent in the locker room, especially with the additions that we made this offseason too. You know, I think that's where we're supposed to be. We wanted to finish the regular season with the best record in the league. We fell a little short of that. So we just keep playing through, and we have other goals in mind, you know, that we're trying to get to.
And here's Devin Booker on the subject of playing meaningful basketball, which is something he was knocked for in the first 5 years of his career.
Feels great. It's hard to put it in words, but, you know, this is what I've trained for. This is what I've prepared for. You know, I don't work out in the summer, you know, thinking that, you know, my season's going to be over after 82 games. You know, so I put myself in a mental space where, you know, every shot counts. You know, I try to vision, you know, the physicality, even when I'm out there by myself, you know. So every time I train, every time I work out, you know, I'm thinking postseason, or I'm thinking these types of games right here.
Yeah, obviously, you know, just from a selfish Suns fan standpoint, and at the heart of it, that's, you know, that's my stance. I've been a fan for over 40 years of this franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I am over the moon happy for Devin Booker, who is a guy who it's always been speculated. There's no way he could be happy in Phoenix. That team stinks. He's scoring 30 points a night, and they're winning 20 games a year. How could he be happy? He's got to get to somewhere bigger where he can be a star. And he's never said anything that contradicts his desire to be here. He's just put his head down, and he's worked, and he's improved every single year. And finally, for those who are paying attention, Devin Booker is shutting them all up.
There's a maturity to him and his game that is really, really good and really, really admirable. He was, you know, he has obviously got something in his mind as to what he wants to become as a basketball player, and nothing's going to stop him. And winning 20 or 30 games a year did not affect him. Having NBA commentators, people like Draymond Green saying, get him out of Phoenix before he wastes his entire career there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. It's validation that, yeah, it can work out just fine here.
Oh, and it is.
And
he showed a level of patience that a lot of young guys who had accomplished what he had accomplished at an early age on a bad team, they wouldn't stick around for it very, very often or very long. And he's done it.
Yeah.
And it's coming to fruition for the first time.
Well, you know, some other player might have gotten very impatient. He might have listened to outside voices, and Devin Booker isn't built like that. Here's the other thing about Devin Booker, too. One of the things, the only real criticism I have had about his game recently is about his not always being in control of his emotions. He has been so on point with that recently. Going up to Jokic to defend campaign yesterday, but then keeping his arms down and not doing anything at all. The fact that he was given a technical foul was a joke, but I guess he got up in his face, and I guess you could rationalize that.
I think that was a security blanket for the officials to appease people, because
I think you're right.
Of what transpired with Jokic, Jay Crowder talked about what happened with Jokic on that play.
I mean, it's basketball. You have little scrums when you grow up a little bit. It's just not on the stage of NBA. So just emotions running high. I mean, I'm sure no one was trying to do anything intentional. It's just emotions got the best of us. I think I just came in trying to just defuse the situation a little bit, because I know hypothalamus respect for your Joker, and I think Book was just protecting Cam. I didn't see the play, so it caught me off guard when I saw the scrum. I just ran late trying to protect my teammates, and that's all. But it just that's what you expect out of the playoffs. It's just a lot of emotions from both sides of the ball, and you just try to manage that as best possible and have your teammates back.
Yeah, I don't know if the technical on Book came from something that he said or it was his actions, because you're right. He didn't really aggressively rush Jokic. He did walk up to him, and Jokic kind of, you know, walked in the opposite direction, and they met chests. Jay Crowder showed a lot of restraint there, too.
Yeah,
we know
did.
He's an emotional guy.
Yep.
And he's already got four technicals in the playoffs. You get seven, it's an automatic one-game suspension. So I'm glad Jay Crowder didn't pick one up for that.
And, you know, I really love seeing this because Monty Williams has been preaching this for the longest time this year, because this has been one of the team's weaknesses. They get obsessed with bad officiating. They get thrown off when calls aren't going their way. They do a lot of barking. They have gotten so much better at that. And it was really cool to see a guy like Nikola Jokic be the one who was doing all the whining and all the pouting. It really benefits a basketball team when you can get up and over that nonsense. And I think they've done it.
Yeah, I think they have to a large degree, too. Going back to that specific incident with Jokic, Denver head coach Michael Malone was taken a little aback by the fact that he lost his MVP.
Well, I still haven't processed it, to be honest with you. You know, game four, an elimination game at home, before they had determined their decision on the flagrant two, I had watched a replay myself on one of the coaches' computers behind the bench. And I just assumed, and we all know you should never assume, but I assumed it would be a flagrant one at the worst. From my vantage point and watching the replay, I did not think it was a non-basketball play with malicious intent. I think it was a frustration foul. I feel Nikola probably felt the last couple of plays when he had the ball, he had not received a foul call. And, you know, he went over there to take a foul, which he's done plenty of times before. A lot of players do that. And I just didn't feel like it warranted a flagrant two ejection because he's making a play on the ball. There's marginal contact to Cameron Payne's nose, I believe. So I was shocked. I'm still a little bit shocked that they called a flagrant two and ejected the MVP on such a play.
Yeah, that's.
I think Mike Singer said that a pool reporter may have asked one of the officials. So I'd love to hear what the reply was from those from one of the referees, because I'm still trying to figure out the reasoning behind the ejection.
Look, the explanation on the court was very clear by the official.
Yeah, listen, the reason why it took so long is I think that crew realized very early on, we have to eject this man. And for Michael Malone to say what he just said is, it's nonsense. There was nothing resembling a basketball play in what he did.
Except for the fact that he happened to make contact with the ball.
That's true. That's a good point. But he clearly got campaign's nose first, and the windup, I mean, come on.
You could do severe, a player that size and a player Cameron Payne's size could do severe damage. Monty Williams also was kind of in agreement with Michael Malone on it, surprisingly enough.
Yeah, we talked about that. It was two series in a row where we had, you know, that kind of incident, and I didn't really think it was, you know, anything malicious, but in those moments you have to regulate your emotions, and that's what we've been talking about all season long. And so Chris got the guys together and talked about it. I got them together and talked about it, and you know, everybody was on the same page. You know, we've been talking about winning, and in those moments we got to get back to the task at hand, and we did that.
And you know, Jokic had to feel terrible. In fact, he admitted he didn't even speak to the team after the foul because he didn't realize he'd be ejected. So he walked off without any communication. From that point forward, so 3:52 left in the third quarter for the rest of the game. So we're talking about 15 minutes and 42 seconds,
yep,
or 52 seconds of basketball. The Suns were outscored by that crew of Denver Nuggets.
I know.
The fourth quarter alone, so without Jokic making an appearance at all on the court, was the highest scoring quarter in the whole series for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, and I know you, being a big basketball fan, you've seen that happen before. When something like that happens and the advantage has so clearly shifted to the team in the lead, very often that very lack of pressure on the other team makes them make a run.
Mm-hmm.
And the Suns got a little careless with the ball, and
yes.
Yeah, it got a little bit weird.
Which I thought it was very strange that that actually happened, because the Suns immediately responded.
Yeah.
It was basically a layup line. The lead got up to 16, and yeah. I was like, it's over.
So it is over. Yeah.
And the Nuggets fought harder, exponentially harder than they'd fought at any time during the
series. And that is what's so very odd about this. For a team that was accused of quitting and a team that was accused of soft, their finest moment came when Nikola Jokic was ejected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Devin Booker talked about fighting through that Nuggets run after
Jokic. We've been there before. We prepared ourselves, you know, for those moments. I recall it, you know, before every game. You know, you hear us come together as a team and say they're going to go on a run at some point. You know, that's when we stick together even more. That's when we bring it together even more. That's when we communicate even more. And that was the name of the game. You know, they came back. They gave us their best shot in the fourth. And, you know, we just kept playing through, you know, kept fighting, relied on our defense. We understand that, you know, we can score. We can score, you know, with the best of them in very different types of ways. And, you know, we punish teams for different coverages, but, you know, what we have to rely on is our defense. And, you know, that when we lock in, that's where it's at.
Yeah. Some of the Denver response to it, obviously, was just ripping the officials. I thought our colleague James Merrillat, who writes for the DenverFan.com, which is the website of our sister station, 104.3 The Fan in Denver, I thought he summed it up pretty well. He said, let's get this out of the way. It was a bad call, not the foul, not even the flagrant, but the ejection was unwarranted. It also completely changed the complexion of the game. Tossing the MVP will have that effect. But the Nuggets didn't lose this series because of that call. They didn't even lose the game because of that whistle. They got swept by the Suns because of everything that it represents. It was dumb basketball, and that's become the defining trait of the Denver Hoops team. Did Jokic get fouled when taking a shot just before his ejection? Maybe, but that doesn't warrant him going after an opposing player in retaliation. Instead of being smart and finding a way to get even somewhere in the flow of the game, he attacked Cameron Payne some 90-plus feet away from the basket he was supposed to be defending. It was in plain sight. It was impossible to ignore. As a result, the Nuggets' fate was put in the hands of the officials, and they burned them.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty great way to sum it up.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think it really kind of showed the psychological number the Suns did on the Nuggets this series, and that should only fortify them going forward. And again, Denver was a wounded opponent. They were not going to win this series. They did not have the tools to do it. But for the Suns to go in and for their fans to kind of take over that arena, it was a manifestation of all of that. And I think that it's going to be a while before Nikola Jokic lives that down. You cannot leave your team in that situation if you're the MVP and your team is already missing Jamal Murray. You can't do that.
Everybody got on LeBron James for leaving the bench 5 minutes early in a game that they clearly were going to lose.
Yep, that's right. And so this is, the cumulative effect of this basketball team and how and what they're doing to opponents. It's great.
Mm-hmm. And now they get a little rest on top of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
We will continue to talk Suns and their quest for a championship as they are in the Western Conference Final. Suns analyst, Sirius XM NBA radio host Eddie Johnson will join us next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter, the home of the Suns' run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. The Suns sweep the Nuggets in four.
And the Suns are going to move on to the Western Conference Finals.
Bickley and Murata talk Suns Nuggets now.
Yep, Suns sweep the Nuggets in four. They'll sit back and wait. The winner of the Utah Jazz-LA Clippers series, that resumes tonight in Los Angeles, 2-1. The Jazz lead that series, but we got a lot to talk about and what just transpired in Phoenix and Denver. And here to talk about it with us, Suns analyst, also SiriusXM NBA radio host, Eddie Johnson joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Eddie, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Just had me a good lunch and on my way to do my radio show, but I thought I'll just take some time out and talk to you for a minute as well.
We always appreciate that, Eddie. I mean, what a performance by the Suns so far, and to win seven games in a row in the playoffs, to put Denver away in four. I mean, what was your biggest takeaway from what you saw over these last four games?
Well, again, it's just a buildup of consistency. And understanding that each game is its own entity and not getting excited about the fact that you had won, you know, five games in a row, six games in a row, seven games in a row. You know, it's just about taking each game as its own individual asset and trying to build on it. And that's what this team has done. And extremely impressive in how they've carried themselves, how they've stepped on the court and been professional. And, you know, I got a lot of kickback, you know, when I was talking about this team toward the end of the year and people saying, well, experience. And, you know, people that didn't play the game, there's no disrespect to those people and how they think. It truly isn't.
Right.
And, oh, experience. Oh, you know, basketball, man. It's basketball. You need experience, but guess what? They have a lot of experience. They've been playing that damn game since they've been 10.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I don't really.
Yeah, the group.
Let's put him on hold, see if we can get that settled out. He's been going in and out. Yeah, the lack of experience thing, it clearly has not been an issue. But again, and I think a lot of it is because Devin Booker was the forefront of that, the centerpiece of that, and he's been ready for this.
Yeah, I mean, it goes to the mental preparation, yep, and just the hard work he's put in over the previous 5 years of his career. That's not to say, though, that the experience, the inexperience factor, mm-hmm, hasn't swallowed up young players and teams in the past. It just seems like with the Suns' combination of experience and youth, that they're kind of, they're kind of impervious to it. Let's see if we reconnect it with Eddie. Eddie, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, that's
beautiful. That much better. Hi, Eddie.
I'm sure you were saying something great. Go ahead and continue.
I probably forgot, man. I'm old, man. Y'all think I'm supposed to remember these things? But I was talking about really experience and, you know, no disrespect to people that didn't play the game. But, you know, they're quick to always go to, oh, you'll have any experience. Oh, listen, it's basketball. Mm-hmm. It's basketball. We've been playing it since we've been 10, 11, 12 years old. You know, we played in adverse situations, and you carry that forward. You don't get rid of it just because you've gotten to the league. And Devin Booker has experience. You know what he had experience in? Losing.
Yeah,
right.
He had experience in losing.
Right.
And so he don't want to lose anymore. So that propels you. That propels you to do what? Do the right thing. You know, be a little bit more less aggressive early. Let your teammates maybe add to what you need to do. Listen to your coaches more. Listen to Chris Paul more because he has the experience. That's what you do.
Yep.
And that's what you're seeing with this ball club right now.
All right, speaking of Chris Paul, how masterful was he yesterday? And what does it do for this team's confidence to, in game one of the Lakers series, if you're a member of the Suns, you're thinking, uh-oh, we just lost our leader, to have him back now playing at the level he's at, what does it do for the team? And just tell me what you think watching him now.
Well, I knew he would eventually be fine because it wasn't a lower extremity issue. And I think that's the one that pretty much lingers with guys. I've had dislocated shoulders. I've had pinched nerves. I've gone through that. Massage and just round the clock, just care gets you back right again. So I knew that he would be eventually fine. So I wasn't surprised at him coming back in the LA series and being effective in certain areas and now back to his normal self. Look, guys, remember I just said it's basketball, right? Mm-hmm. This is my issue with analytic people. And they'll remember me forever. I'll be long gone. They're still going to remember me because it's just basketball. And Chris Paul takes what the defense gives him. That's all. He takes what it gives him, and he builds his confidence off of that. So they don't want to really blitz the two-man game. So they want to drop the guy off because they're afraid of DeAndre Ayton getting the lob. And so Chris Paul comes off. He takes a couple of dribbles to get away from the defender that's chasing him.
and he shoots a jumper from 10, 12, 13 feet. Look, when you grow up playing this game, that's the first thing you work on. Like, in order to improve your range, you're taught to improve your range from in out, not out in. And that's what he's doing. It's easy. I mean, they've made the game so simple for him. They want to keep backing off, and this dude is going to destroy you. Now, he had, what, 37 points?
Mm-hmm.
But yet, they'll say three is worth more than a two.
Yeah, right.
Okay? But what's the percentage on you making them three? And what's the percentage on you making twos if you work on your game? It's a closer shot. It's an easier shot.
Yeah.
And that's all he's doing. He's not doing nothing. He didn't invent this. I mean, Steph Curry does it. Kevin Durant does it. Kawhi Leonard does it. DeMar DeRozan does it. PJ Warren does it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll name guys. And you check all those guys, their field goal percentage is always pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And that's all Chris Paul is doing. And he's unstoppable right now.
Eddie Johnson, Suns analyst, SiriusXM NBA radio host, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Still a lot of people talking, I'm sure, in Denver, I'm sure nationally, about the Nikola Jokic ejection. I thought it was warranted considering everything that transpired at that point. Were you surprised? Did you think it was warranted, Eddie?
They went by the letter of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I believe Jokic was trying to intentionally hurt campaign? No. I thought his pride was wounded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as I tweeted out earlier, Chris Paul was damaging his pride. Now, people say, well, it's not like Hakeem and David Robinson. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's an MVP candidate throwing it at an MVP winner. And you don't have to guard him. You just be in the same game dominating. That's all. That's what that's about. It's not about him dominating Jokic. It's about him dominating the game. And I think Jokic, with the fear of getting swept, it started to wear on him. And he was upset he didn't get a foul. And he immediately went over there and to take out his frustration. Now, to his defense, he did get ball, but he got nose too. And for people out there to say, oh, he just scraped his nose, stand in front of me and let me hit you, swing as hard as I can, right on the tip of your nose, and tell me I won't make you cry. I mean, how dare people, man? They people always want to judge somebody when they get pain. You don't know what the pain is unless you're experiencing it and feeling it. And that kind of like half hit on the tip of his nose, that hurts. Okay? And that's the guy that wound up, and that's why he got kicked out. Think about it this way. Say if he and Devin Booker had got into it before campaign, and they just got into it, and they were woofing each other. And Jokic hauled off and swung at Devin Booker, but he missed him. But he missed him.
Yeah.
Does he get kicked out of the game? Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Does he get suspended again? Yes, he does. What is the difference? He went over there mad. He swung hard, and he connected. Even though he didn't try to do it. It's not about trying to do it or not trying to do it. It's about winding up. They know you're flustered, and he got caught. And it's unfortunate. It should not have happened to him. He's a great sportsman. I love the fact he came out, and he apologized to campaign. But at the moment, he wanted to knock the stew out of campaign.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. All right, as a former player, I'm curious what you think about this. How is, aside from the obvious, but how is this prolonged rest going to affect the Suns?
Well, put it this way. All right, what would you rather have? The prolonged rest that could affect you, or you limp into the conference?
I'll take the rest.
Thank you. So, and then on the other hand, if they have to play past Sunday, right, or at least not till Sunday, then what are you going to face? You're going to face a tired team.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather take that. I think the Suns can work the rust off. Yeah, they're going to be a little rusty, or they might not be. It all depends. You know, but the one thing we do know, they're going to be healthy.
Yeah, yeah, we do know that. Eddie, thanks so much for the time, as always. We appreciate
it. You're the best, DJ.
Always, guys. Take care. Enjoy this beautiful, beautiful, cool weather we're having.
Oh, yeah. I know. Are you still going to be out practicing your golf game, Eddie?
Listen, I got a golf game tomorrow at 6:50 a.m.
Of course you do.
I'm going to tell you all this right now.
All right.
I have no issue with it being this hot. You know why? Because if it wasn't this hot this time of the year, we'd have 25 million people living here.
That's true.
Stay out.
Amen to that.
Very well said, Eddie. As always,
stay out.
Eddie Johnson, our guest on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Nissan, west of the hassle. Visit CoulterNissan.com. Coming up next, took a while, but some national voices are finally taking notice of the Phoenix Suns. We'll tell you what they had to say next. Spickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station and the Arizona Sports app. The Suns sweep the Nuggets in four.
And the Suns are going to move on to the Western Conference Finals.
Bickley and Murata talk Suns Nuggets now.
When you consider where Chris Paul stands in the history of the game at his position, who the last thing for him was to break through and win big. You know, he's been to a conference final, but now the chance to take a team to the NBA final, something he hasn't done. I just think there's a tremendous amount of appreciation, respect for Chris Paul. And I think it gets, you know, it's funny, people talk about, you know, people wrote him off, and I think it was his contract. I don't think people ever wrote Chris Paul off or didn't say Chris Paul was still an elite player in the league. The question was he still a player who matched up with a contract in the 40s, you know, 44, 45 million, wherever that deal is this year? And certainly he answered that question.
Yeah, that's Adrian Wojnarowski on the KJZ Morning Show on ESPN Radio talking about Chris Paul. That last part, that's one of the thoughts that people had. When you go back to November and that deal was being discussed, there were some Suns fans that were like, 35 years old, going to be 36, 40 mm-hmm. plus million, 44 next year with the option. There's no way.
Yeah. there were a lot of people who felt that. And there was a time before his season, his last season in Oklahoma City, when people looked at Chris Paul and thought, wow, no, that guy, a non-tradable, that contract is terrible. This is such a victory for Chris Paul. Not only his toughness, but the way he takes care of himself, the fact that he was able through nonstop working on his body during the course of the series to get himself back to the way he is right now. I could not be more impressed with him as a basketball player and a leader. Yesterday was a crowning moment for him to just put on that clinic of mid-range jumpers. Nine in a row at one point. Just phenomenal stuff. Just next level point guard kind of stuff.
I went back and again through NBA.com, they have that clickable box score.
Right.
So if you click on field goal attempts for Chris Paul, it'll just play all of his field goal attempts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So to watch those in proximity to each other.
Yep.
It's mesmerizing.
That's a word. That's definitely a word.
Here's Jeff Van Gundy on CP3.
Chris Paul, I think a lot of times the playoff losses and sometimes the harshness of those playoff losses overshadowed some people's opinions that he didn't come through in the biggest moments. And this guy, as we all know, is such a great, great player who, with his physicality, his skill, and his mental acuity, he makes a major impact on teams. And I think it really helped that Monty Williams and him had prior history together. I think that gave them each an understanding of what the other one was going to be like, so they didn't have to try to work through that and form a bond in this COVID-related year.
Here's where I'm really excited, Bick, because we have a situation where you have team and you have player, and they are both presented with the opportunity to wash away their respective histories. Jeff Van Gundy talked about it there in that soundbite about Chris Paul and this perception that he wasn't good enough to get it done. He's making his second Western Conference Finals appearance. I still will believe this, and I believed this before Chris Paul ever came to the Suns. So don't I don't want to be accused of being, oh, now that he's on the Suns, you're a pro Chris Paul guy. Had he not been injured against Golden State, I think Houston wins the title that year.
Could have.
But it didn't happen. And the Suns have been close a few times, too, and it didn't happen. And that's what's exciting to me, is you have this marriage of player and team coming together, and everything's gelling at the right time. And they both have this opportunity to rewrite their histories together. And that would be so unbelievable.
I completely agree with that. There is such a confluence of guys and stories that they richly deserve. Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Monty Williams, you could put them all in that category. Mm-hmm. And it's just great to see. It's great to see a team this connected continuing to grow in strength. And that's where they're at right now.
Yeah. Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo got together on the Ringer Podcast Network for a podcast they called the CP3 Appreciation Podcast.
Okay.
This is long. But they're gushing, so we'll let them gush.
Well, we did the Book of Basketball podcast about him, what was that, 6-7 months ago, and talked about the conundrum of this guy is on paper one of the best point guards of all time, and we both hate rings culture, but at the same time, you're going to come away from his career asking the question, well, why didn't this translate to a title? Why didn't this translate to a finals appearance? And we broke it down. We went through everything. I don't think either of us anticipated when we did that podcast that he hadn't found the perfect team for him yet. You know, and it's weird to think somebody could be in the league since 2005 and played with some really good players. But this is the team that has brought out all the best pieces of him. And I think the game he played tonight, I've seen a lot of good Chris Paul games. That was up there with one of the most dominant performances he's had. He had everything cooking. He had the mid-range game. He's getting guys involved. He's doing the whole thing. And you talked about the difficult to play with part. You know, maybe that's a piece of this, where now that he's the old guy, now that he's been in the league for this long, now that he's playing with guys who grew up watching him, it resonates a little differently, right, than it did for maybe Blake Griffin in 2013. But Griffin was like, I was on this team first. Wait, you're telling me what to do? Like, he clashed with some of those dudes. He's not going to tell James Harden what to do. It seems like he's in the right spot. And I got a little emotional watching him hug Monty Williams at the end there, because, you know, we've seen these teams get thrown together over the years. This is a team that it was authentically built. They made a lot of smart decisions, and they really, really leveraged this great relationship that he had with Monty Williams. And it just seems like this is a team that pulls for each other. The chemistry is very Spurs-like. It feels very Duncan Popovich-y, the way the guys... You know, even like when Jokic for a second there that foul, and the whole team kind of came in to protect their guy. And I, you know, this has turned out to be Chris's masterpiece. You know, it took a while. I think they're going to make the finals. They're peaking at the perfect time. But with Chris Paul, as always, you never know. We've seen the rug get pulled out from under him before, and it's hard not to think about that, right?
Yeah, I imagine that's probably why he's been getting so emotional. You know, he's been emotional towards the end of this year.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah, I would agree.
I don't know if you caught this. Devin Booker did a post-game interview where he said that phrase, we're peaking at the right time, and then he had immediately like, well, we're not peaking. We're just improving.
I did catch that. You
don't want to peak, but... that's an interesting point. That all these years, maybe this is finally the perfect blend of talent and coaching to unlock all of Chris Paul's gifts.
Well, and again, now you think about the parallel stories here. I mean, for years, what do we harp about as Phoenix Suns fans? Getting the rug pulled out from underneath us, getting close only to have stupid circumstance conspire against us. Mm-hmm. That's what Bill Simmons is saying about Chris Paul. Yeah. So Chris Paul's story in the playoffs kind of mirrors the Phoenix Suns.
Absolutely.
And they're changing it together.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
By the way, to update things, Devin Booker recently today tweeted out a screenshot of the Suns in Four guy from Game 3 in Denver, and it just said, need man's info.
Really?
So the manhunt is on.
Wow. Yeah, so D Book wants to hook this guy up.
Maybe.
Suns and four.
I don't think he's been identified just yet. Maybe he's still in the clink in Denver. I don't know.
But again, he did not swing first.
No.
Now, granted, he held on to the guy and then took some gratuitous shots, but he self-defense, right?
Hey, when you can combine self-defense with gratuitous shots, you're doing it correctly.
Maybe Book wants to pay for a good lawyer for him.
Maybe. Maybe. Coming up next, we got some social studies with Sarah Cazell. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.